Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection. This morning, if you would please, take your Bible, turn with me to John's Gospel, John chapter 2. We'll begin reading with verse 13. John chapter 2, verse 13, the Bible says, "And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, Take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years this temple in building, and thou wilt rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men. And needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man." May God add blessings to the reading of His Word this morning. As I was getting ready for Lord's Supper, I was thinking about and praying about what passage would be a good passage for this service. And I looked over the passage that we just read, and while it was the next in line in our study of the book of John, I thought, what better passage to preach for the Lord's Supper? It's time to clean house. Isn't that what Jesus done? He's done a little house cleaning. As we think about the Lord's Supper this morning, we need to think about our hearts and our lives, and we need to think about answering the question, is it time to clean house? Well, as we're going to look at this, and we're going to answer that question, we need to think about three things this morning. We need to realize it's time to clean house when God's sanctuary is desecrated. Beginning in verse 13, we go back and we see that it was the Passover. Jesus was in Jerusalem. Jesus went to the temple, and while there he saw oxen and sheep and doves, which would be normal for typical sacrifices for this season, for the Passover. The only thing was Jesus saw them being sold in the temple. This was not right. You see, God's prescribed plan for bringing the sacrifices to the temple for the Passover or for any of these festivities or any of these sacraments that were being offered here, it was to come from the individual person. You were to bring the best that you had. It was to be without blemish. And it was to be brought freely of the person to the priest to be sacrificed, and the blood of that sacrifice sprinkled upon the altar so that forgiveness of sin could be accomplished for a period of time. But here inside of the temple, they have found a way to take God's word and to make money. Instead of the folks looking through their own flocks and their own herds and bringing something of their own that was without blemish and it being a sacrifice of them and to God, the temple was saying, we'll just sell you one. We'll just sell you the sacrifice. They were desecrating the temple of God. There are people today desecrating the sanctuary. Desecrating the sanctuary of God. Not just the four walls that we're sitting in this morning. Wow, this is holy ground. This is special sacred ground. And we should respect that. And we should acknowledge that. But there is even greater ground that is being desecrated today. An even greater temple. It is the temple of the believer's body. Well, when the sanctuary is being desecrated and it's time to clean house, we have to realize that there is usually a lacking of zeal for the holiness of God. Where's our zeal this morning? Where is your zeal this morning? Do you have a zeal for the holiness of God in your life? Do you seek to be holy and to follow a holiness that God has desired in your life? Is it something more than just saying, God, here I am, bless me if you can? Or is it a desire that is urging and burning and drawing you closer to Him? That's what God desires in your heart and in your life this morning. He wants us to desire and want to draw closer to Him. He wants us to be hungry and have a zeal for His holiness. We look at Jesus' behavior. We see that He poured out the changers' money, that He drove out all of the sacrifices that they were there trying to sell because they were no good. That He overthrew the tables. What does God have to overthrow and overturn and drive out of our lives in order to encourage and to restore our zeal for the holiness of God? What has to take place? What has to happen in your life? What does God have to do to get your attention? How about zeal for the house of God? Over in 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, Paul talks about your body being a temple. How do we take care of our temples? What do we do? Well, we're not going to reverse aging. We're not going to reverse the effects of aging. We're not going to affect wear and tear on our lives. We're not going to reverse any of that. But that does not mean that we cannot take care of our bodies and take care of who we are, because we are the temple of God. If we're saved today and we are born again of the blood of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells within us and we are the temple of God. That's Bible. How do we take care of that temple? And where is the zeal to take care of our bodies as the temple of God? We have tendencies to make bad decisions in life. We have tendencies to make bad decisions that affect our health. We have tendencies to indulge in food, indulge in drink, indulge in other behaviors that hurt our body. We have a zeal to indulge in all kinds of worldly behaviors. We have a zeal to engage in all types of ungodliness and ungodly behaviors, even sinful behavior. But do we have a zeal to be the house of God? Do we have a zeal to be the sanctuary and not desecrate that sanctuary this morning? If we don't have that zeal for the holiness of God, for the house of God, it's time that we do a little house cleaning. It's time that we let God do a little house cleaning in our lives and get us closer to Him. It's time to clean house when God's Son is rejected. Notice with me in verses 18 through 22 that unbelievers look for a sign. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, "What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things?" They're saying basically, Jesus, you came in here and you cleaned house. You ran off all of the merchandise that we were selling. You turned over and scattered the money that we were exchanging. You've turned over the tables that all of the sales were taking place at. They're saying, show us a sign. Why do you do these things? Impress us, Jesus. Impress us. They challenged the Lord's work. There are all kinds of challenges to the Lord's work being pressed today. All kinds. A lot are being challenged for the church to say, or saying to the church, step up, show us you're who you say you are. They're saying, step up and do the things that you said you're going to do. They're saying, impress us. God's not in the business of impressing the world. God's not in the business of impressing those that are lost and undone today. God's in the business of seeing people saved. He's in the business of seeing people accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior this morning. He's in the business of spreading the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what the church is supposed to be in the business of doing this morning. We're supposed to be in the business of reaching out and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. They're not only challenging the Lord's work, but notice in verses 19 through 21, they're confused about the Lord's words. When He said, if you destroy this temple in 3 days, I will raise it up. The world does not know the Word and the works of Jesus. They may be religious. They may be literary. They may have all kinds of accolades and all kinds of names and degrees and honors and everything else. But they do not know the work of Jesus Christ. They don't know the words that He speaks. They don't know what they mean. They're foreign to the world and foreign to the unbeliever today. We have to understand that as we're trying to reach them and we're trying to proclaim the Word of God. They don't know the language we speak because they don't have the heart that's been born again. They don't have the heart that's been converted. Also, we need to realize that believers look to the Scriptures, not to a sign. Notice with me verse 22. When therefore He was risen from the dead, His disciples remembered that He had said unto them, and they believed the Scripture. Believers remember His words. That doesn't mean they remember word for word, but they do remember what He said, and they remember why He said it. Believers remember the Word of God. When you hear the Word of God preached, when you hear it taught, does it stay with you? Does it stick with you? Is it something that you remember maybe not word for word, but you remember in the teaching and in the mode of teaching from one week to the next? Does the Word of God affect your life? And does it affect your life in such a way that it affects the way you live your life? It should. The Word of God should not only be ringing in our ears, but it should be ringing and resonating from our hearts every day of our life. If we can remember the Word of God and we can let it speak to our hearts and change our hearts, we can receive that Word and we can receive it in such a way that it will allow us to receive Jesus better and deeper in our lives, and it will allow us to show the world exactly what they're missing. Often, I hear it said, churches are becoming empty. There's fewer and fewer people coming. There's fewer people getting saved. There's fewer people getting baptized. Is there fewer members of the church evangelizing? Do we care about the lost today? Does the church really and truly care about the lost? We're going to be observing the Lord's Supper. We're going to be celebrating and remembering what Jesus has done for us. And we're going to be saying He can do the same for everyone else that is out there that is lost and undone. And that's true. He can. And He will if they will come. But are they invited? Are they welcome? Does the church really want the lost in their building? Is God's Son not just rejected by the lost, but is the proclaiming of the Word of God, is the proclaiming and the professing of God's Son to the lost rejected as well from the church? Isn't it time to clean house in our hearts and our lives and come back and ask God to give us a burden for the lost? Is it time for us to come back and say, God, revive us. Revive us. Well, it's time to clean house when God's salvation is cheapened. Look with me beginning in verse 23. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in his name, which they saw miracles which he did, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify, for he knew what was in the man. Men concerned themselves with the miracles. Did you see that in that passage? They saw the miracles. Today we have people that are seeking miracles. We have people that are wanting to see magnificent signs. I will believe in Jesus if He'll split the sky. I will believe in Jesus if He'll part the waters. I will believe in Jesus if He will do this. I will believe in Jesus if He will do that. They saw and they had their miracles in this day. And they followed Jesus because of His miracles. Not because of who He was. Not because He was the Son of God. Not because He could provide eternal life. Not because they believed in Him, but because of what He done. How about you this morning? Are you following Jesus because He is the Son of God? Because you really believe in Him? Or are you following Jesus for something else? Are you following Jesus because of popularity? Are you following Jesus because of pressure? Is salvation meaningful in your life, or has it been cheapened by something? Here it was cheapened by miracles. not because Jesus cheapened it through miracles, but because men took the miracles that He done and they cheapened salvation themselves. Salvation has been cheapened today in many ways, in many churches, and even by many pastors and preachers, because they're offering it in other ways. They're offering salvation in other ways. You don't have to be saved by the blood. You can be saved by this. You don't have to be saved by the blood. You can be saved by baptism. You can be saved by sprinkling. You can be saved by just raising your hand. You can be saved by anything other than the blood of Jesus. It's being cheapened today just as it was in Jesus' day. Things hasn't changed. They haven't changed. It's not any worse today than it was then as far as the hearts of people. Men concerned themselves in Jesus' day with spectacular events. And we still want to see spectacular events today. Why aren't we happy and satisfied with just seeking Jesus? Why does it have to be something spectacular? Jesus commits Himself to those who are sincere. Notice in verse 24, Jesus did not commit Himself unto them because He knew all men. We may commit ourselves to Jesus because of spectacular events. We may commit ourselves to Jesus because of expectations or because of other things. But Jesus is not going to commit Himself to us for anything other than just our believing Him and our accepting Him for who He is. The only begotten Son of God who gave His life on Calvary's cross, on Calvary's hill, to redeem us of our sin. That's who He is. It's time to clean house in our hearts and in our lives if salvation has become cheapened. If it doesn't mean to us today what it did when we first experienced it, if salvation doesn't mean to us today what Jesus established it on Calvary's cross, if Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus doesn't mean today what it did when we first experienced it, when we accepted Him as Lord and Savior, then we've cheapened it. We need to clean house. We need to clean our hearts. So this morning, as we move from the message to the Lord's Supper, again I want to ask, is God's sanctuary desecrated in your life? How are you dealing with God's Son? Do you remember His Word? Do you look to His Word? Do you receive His Word? Do you share and spread His Word? And how is salvation played out in your life? Does it have the value that it used to have? This morning, before we move into the Lord's Supper, I want to ask if we could have just some music to be played, please. Just something soft and subtle. If you've got business to do with God, if it's time to clean house, if it's time to get ready for the Lord's Supper, because you'll find out as we move into the Lord's Supper, this is not something you take lightly. If there's something in your heart, if there's something in your life, I want to ask you to come, to take time, take the opportunity to make things right. To get right with God. I want to give you just a few moments to do that. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. Take this opportunity. Take this opportunity The altar is open if you need it. Give you the chance and the opportunity to come forward. Thank you. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we have Paul's address to the church over the Lord's Supper. He says, beginning in verse 22, "What, have you not houses to eat and to drink, or despise you the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say unto you? Shall I praise you this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you." That night the Lord Jesus took bread. I'd like to ask our deacons if they would please to come. In the first church, the Corinthians had taken the Lord's Supper and they had turned it into a party, into a feast. That's not what it's intended to do. We're here to observe the body and the blood of Jesus Christ to give thanks for it today. I'd like to ask our deacons if they would please to pass out to distribute the Lord's Supper. As they do, then we will give thanks for the bread and then give thanks for the blood. Brother Ronnie, would you bless our bread, please, sir? Jesus said, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner, he took the cup. Brother Ray, would you bless the juice, please, sir? This cup is the New Testament in my blood, Jesus said. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. That is what we just observed this morning. We know from the book of Mark, other scriptures, that after the Lord's Supper was done, they sang a hymn as they departed. I'd like to ask if we could please to have a departing hymn this morning as we close our service with it. We'll close it in fellowship. We'll close it in thankfulness. We'll close it in a remembrance of Jesus and everything He said and everything He done. God bless you is my prayer.